So what we want to do is pick up where we were before on last week,
just straight up with this. What are the one another's in Scripture? You were doing some research on that, and oh man, I told you to bring it with you.
Oh yeah.
Run home. We'll wait.
Mine is on my chair. Did you take it?
What was it in?
It was just on my chair.
Well, you're gonna have to redo it, guys. Was it written on one of these things?
Oh, maybe.
Because one of the, I gathered them up, it was just sitting around.
Yep, that's what it was.
Yep. Good luck finding it.
So the idea is to just remind each other of what the one another's are. This is real simple. We were gonna move on to what is the definition of love, but we wanted to get more into this. So our time has been used up a lot, but I wanna hear what other one another's come to mind and what they mean to you. So you got another one another, another passage. Those flyers that I have right there have 15 one another's in there. But I'm going to sit down and just let the body hash this out. You figure out. I didn't mean to pass those around, but do pass them. Oh, Betsy did. Okay, good, good. They're cheat sheet.
You got overruled. Betsy.
Yeah. Did you find yours? Oh, good. Okay, so what one another do you have?
The one I read last week was, yeah.
Oh, so you don't have anything new to add.
Well, I can give somebody else a turn.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Okay. Do you know of any one another's just offhand? There are a couple hundred in Scripture, at least 100 that I know of, and some of them will repeat, but it's funny that we don't know them. What are the one another's that come to mind in Scripture? Go ahead.
I like the one from Ephesians 2, I'll read what the one another, but then I'll back up two verses. It says, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. But the reason I really like this one, if I go back two verses, it shows what's at the base or the root of us being able to love one another. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So, when you guys, you two, first started talking about the one another's and love one another and all this stuff, my heart sank because I'm thinking, oh no, I got to do one more thing, right? And it just sounded like a burden. But as I've been praying about it and reading about it, it's not a burden because it's not something I have to do. This is an extension of resting in Christ and Christ's love flowing through me.
Yeah, when we started off by having that kind of a talk, what it means to rest in Christ, or the what would Jesus do type of mentality, and you're saying it isn't a burden, it isn't I've got one more thing to do, it's I got one more definition of who I am. And that's a big difference, trying to do stuff, trying to be Christian, or trying to be holy, or trying to be good, or trying to be Christ. It's not your job. The job isn't to try to do anything. Your job is to get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do through you. And a lot of times, I tell you what, we do resist the one another's. God will put it on your heart to stop by somebody's house and just say hi, or to go help somebody with their this or their that, and you think about it, you go, no, I'm not going to do it. That's resisting. God nudged you. And the more you get used to responding to the nudges, the more you get used to hearing the voice of God and responding to the voice of God. And you'll start hearing it. The more you do it, the more you hear it. And we, you guys, we are mighty men and women of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. When this might sound really weird to say our job is to rest. It isn't to go out and try and try and try. It's to rest in Christ, be still, and let him move. Now that might sound like a conflict of interest or might sound counterintuitive, right? Does that sound stupid? When I say that, you're to rest. Are you getting this? What are you thinking? Does that sound weird? Be honest. No, I love that. I was asking her, though. No. That was perfect, Murph. But no, I was trying to put her on the spot because she was looking at me. You look at me, I'm going to... I can never tell if Murph's looking at me. She's looking away. Avert thy gaze. Do not look. All right, I'm off your case. What does it mean to rest in Christ for you?
What? This is so funny. Every single person is looking down now.
don't look up. That's funny. What we're trying to do, what we're doing, is we're learning to hear the voice of God, learning to respond to the voice of God, and learning to act on it. That's Christianity. Christianity isn't a to-do list. Christianity is a to-be list. And to be, you rest. Why is that not counterintuitive?
We rest our bodies, we are renewed. And when we rest in Christ, we get renewed and we can hear him better because we're not being busy, we're not doing all the things that are on our to-do list, but we're just sitting back saying, Lord, talk to me. And I know when I'm trying to rest my body, I fight because my brain doesn't want to turn off. And so my brain just starts going over and over again. But when I start saying, Jesus, I need to rest in you, I start to quiet down. And my mind starts to quiet.
You know, it's interesting because Scripture says, make every effort to rest in him. Mm-hmm. Make every effort to rest. And you are aware that in your physical world, you have to make every effort just to rest. Why? Why do you have to make so much effort to rest?
Well, I have a condition.
You do?
I do.
Because I'm insane.
My brain doesn't turn off.
Yeah, and a lot of brains don't turn off, even condition or not condition. We're thinking, we're mulling things over. And so it takes a lot of work to rest, but when it comes to resting in Christ, it takes a lot of work because your natural tendency is to run and do and go. That's your natural tendency. And when it comes to seeing Christ work through you, you cannot do it in the natural. You can. Don't get me wrong. You can. That usually ends wrong, or you get really burnt out. You hear people that burn out. He's burnt out in ministry. If you're burnt out in ministry, you were doing it in your own energy. Ministry's got to be the Lord. It's got to be working in you and through you. There is no burnout if it's Jesus. So that's the same thing with every single person in this room. We're all ministers of Jesus Christ. He's got something for us to do. He's got lives for us to touch. He's got stuff for us to do all the time. Our job is to be still and wait. And he'll nudge you. He'll let you know.
And the an example for entering his rest is like, when you are in like stressed out about something, you know that's not God. That's not resting in his, trusting him. It's like it's trusting God to take the care of things instead of freaking out. Because the world will freak out. But when you know who you are in Christ, you're not going to freak out because you trust God and you're trusting him by resting. You're resting in his work through you. And you just trust that God's going to take care of things, and he gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding, and he guards our heart and our mind. Nice. And that's what's so awesome about resting, is just trusting him to let go of those things that we should be freaking out about. The world will be freaking out because they don't know Jesus. But in Christ, we don't need to freak out. And yeah, it's hard to say sometimes when you're in that. But when you really understand who you are in Christ and you understand who God is, you do let go, and you that's rest. That's resting.
We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that's really important for us to learn.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world. What does that mean? That means we are in the world. We do have the regular struggles of life, and we have the regular pressures that everybody else has, but we're not of the world. So because we're not of the world, we can disengage, we can detach, and we can rest in Him and wait on the Lord. Now, I have to say, from personal experience, watching Betsy deal with crazy stuff that happens in our life or with our kids' lives, where normal people are going to panic, flip out, get in their car and drive to Missouri to see what's going on or whatever. And she goes, well, it's in the Lord's hands. And I go, aren't you flipping out? She goes, what good will that do? No, I'm not. Many times we've had things happen in our kids' life that I want to panic. Betsy doesn't panic. She gets on her knees, she prays, and then she lets it go. And that's just really amazing to me to watch, because that's real time. That's my wife, and I'm watching her practice the very things that we're teaching. And it's fun to see it happen in real time. She really doesn't panic or flip out. And I expect her to, you know, moms are, and she's a very attentive, involved mom. And when I expect her to flip out because our kids are going through some really terrible thing, she doesn't. I'm like, aren't you flipping out? You know, no, it's in the Lord's hands. She really, really does that. Every one of us should have that approach to life. We can't change a single thing by flipping out. It's not going to help. So good job, babe. I appreciate that. You've been a great model for me. In the one another list, tell me one that you hadn't thought of before until you saw the list, or which one jumps out at you. It's an interesting list. We know that we're supposed to forgive one another, care for one another. What does it mean, bear one another's burden? That's an interesting one. Bear one another's burden. What does that mean? Is there a context for that? What does that mean, Tyler? Yeah, bear one another's burden. Look it up. It's in Colossians 3:13. And he'll give me a report on that. Serve one another. Bear one another's burden is also in Galatians 6:2. But how about admonish one another? Admonish? Or why?
I don't know if guys are like this, but with women, we always want to just encourage each other. I think it's very hard for women to admonish each other. You know, say, somebody can say, Julie, I really don't think you should be wearing that type of thing. or Julie, you shouldn't have spoke to your husband that way, that type of thing, right? I think it's very hard for us women to do that. It's a correction, yeah. So I think it would behoove us women to allow ourselves to do that in love, right? without the bless your heart.
Is that easy to take offense at such a thing, do you think? But others take offense at that.
I don't know. I can remember earlier when I was younger, and I would get offended easily. Sure.
Oh, I think so, because a lot of women take insult too, and they feel judged. So that's, I mean, a lot of women, I think, just feel like it's insult if someone else is that honest with them when they say, like you had the example of, I don't think you should be wearing that, or a different color I think would look better on you, or something. I think a lot of women are like, that was rude. You know?
Yeah,
sounds really too honest. Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, not everything needs to be said.
Yeah.
And the clue to that is in love, you know. I mean, you know, and I love that we went through the cure because we learned to take the mask off instead of, I mean, you guys weren't here for that, but it's like, be who you are at church as you are in the world, you know. Don't just be, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm a Christian at church only, but out in the world as well. And taking the mask off and being able to share, like the more I've gotten to know Julie, she's been able to share with me things that I said, and I'm like, I appreciate you telling me that. You know, before I probably would have been like, oh, who does she think
she is? But it happens more often that you correct me and I need it.
And I've felt comfortable to correct her, and she's one that I can, because we've both been in that spot where we can share in a loving way, you know, and we're like, thank you for seeing that and showing me that. And that's what we would love for the body of Christ, of all of us, to be like that, where we can, you know, be honest with each other in a love, you know, not in mean, angry, or rude, because that's not love. Love, you know, that's the key to it, you know. So it's very, yeah, we all know that. But, yeah, that's not really, that's your own, like, you know.
Your brother or sister that, hey, you know, I think this is a sin. Maybe you shouldn't do that. And the different descriptions of admonish is, one is to advise or urge someone earnestly. Or in archaic, warn someone of something to be avoided. Maybe that might hurt them. But yeah, we don't just walk around saying, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that, you know, because that's not biblical.
Sharing what's on your heart and mind, how it all comes together. Edmond, what'd you find out, Tyler?
I don't know. It's just verse 2. So if we start at verse 1, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness, but watch yourself, for you also may be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
What do you make of that?
No, I was hoping you would tell me.
That's one, that context of that makes it a little harder. The Colossians one that I was talking about is bear with one another. That's different. Sorry, I gave you the wrong one. You got the Galatians one. So in bearing one another's burdens, the beginning of that is what? The guy's doing what? Read that again.
Says, brothers, if someone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Man, I'm hearing that saying loudly that people fall into stupidity. And sidle up. What's the word I'm saying? You can go to that brother or that sister and you can go, whoa, this is difficult. So it's talking about sin. It's talking about somebody that's caught up in something stupid. And you go up to them and go, I don't think this is good. You know, what are you doing? And they go, I don't know. You're right. I shouldn't be doing this. And then it says, but be careful. You too could get caught up in that thing. You know, maybe they're caught up in, I don't know, gambling or drinking or pornography or something, and the enemy's going to attack. You go to help a brother or a sister, the enemy's going to attack in that same area a lot of times. Be very, very careful. And at the same time, bear that person's burden. Be able to say, this is difficult. I see it. I understand that. Be aware. You're in warfare, and this is dangerous ground, but you still are called to bear that person's burden. That is coming alongside of somebody who's going through a struggle and going, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to check up on you. That's basically what you're seeing in AA. AA has sponsors and sponsees. That's bearing one another's burden. That's getting a call every day
and going, that's my sponsor. You know, what? How are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you at? What's going on with you? That is saying, not only do I care that you are not drinking, but I'm going to follow up. I'm going to call you. I'm going to check up on you. And this is the concept of bearing one another's burden, coming alongside of a brother or sister. Not only, we're not coming alongside to point our finger or to look down our noses at them. We're coming alongside to encourage, to build up, and to help them in their time of need. And so that bearing burden is saying way more than pointing it out or accusing them. That's saying, I'm going to walk with you through this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because you're with me, you know, the Lord. But you're sometimes the physical manifestation of the Lord in that difficult valley for these people. That's bearing one another's burden. That's caring enough to be there. And just being there to talk, just being there to listen. Sometimes, I remember my mom died. my friend, Matt, he was with me. I went, we picked him up or somehow he ended up in my life. And we just drove out to the ocean and we just sat there, didn't say squat for like the whole day, just sat there. And having him near me, with me at that time, was phenomenal. I was crying, I was struggling, I was whatever. Matt didn't say a word, and then we drove home, and that was enough. That's what was needed. That's bearing one another's burden. And Matt did that, and we weren't Christians. In fact, Matt hated God. Isn't that interesting? But God was using him to bear my burdens. This kind of sharing, this kind of input is really good, you guys. You're teaching each other. We're all thinking about these things and seeing them. Give me one more and walk me through it. What else do you see in the list?
Colossians 3:13. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgive each other if one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for the others. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. It's everything that we've been talking about, and I like the put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgive each other. And then I also like, beyond all these things, put and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, perfect bond of unity.
That's so good. And when it starts off, bear with one another, bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Man, I'll tell you what, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Forgive, forgive, bear with one another. Bear with one another. Have you ever noticed that the closer you get to people, the more they stink? You know, what does it say? Familiarity breeds contempt. You know, at first you really like people or somebody. Let's say it's a boy, Ryan, and you really like him at first, but no, she looks at me like, well, it happens, doesn't it? At first, you are a girlfriend, you really like them at first, you're enamored with that person's personality, and they're great, but sooner or later, they rub you wrong. Or you realize, does that ever happen to you? What do you do with that? Chuck them, man. When it comes to boys, you chuck them. Yeah. Just get to know that, and then have it happen sooner, not later. That thing about familiarity breeds contempt. The more you get to know somebody, the more they rub you wrong. that's you. Turn around. They always say if somebody rubs you wrong, turn around. You know, then they'll be rubbing you right. This is what happens in the body of Christ. We're a family, and we get to know each other, and we get to know each other well. And sooner or later, there's something about them, the way they chew, the way they breathe, the way they say that word, whatever, and now you don't like them. Now they eat on you. They're just tearing away at you. And you can let that build up, and you can let that be I hate it when she comes around. You know, she always breathes so weird. Whatever. That's the enemy. First, that's just normal because we're different. All of us do things differently. But secondly, that's the enemy, and he wants to get in there, and he wants to cause division. He wants to cause separation. He wants to cause disunity. Bear with one another with love. You go, I used to chew like that. You say, it's human. You know, why am I getting all bent out of shape for something so stupid? Examine yourself. Love. Love covers a multitude of sins or of weirdnesses. But that bear with one another with love, that bear with one another, is what separates the church. Somebody sees you doing something a different way than they're used to, or we never did it that way before, and they're out of here. No, bear with one another. Hang out, wait, see what God is doing. Love, 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 love conquers all this stuff. But that's a big one, bear with one another.
You know, I find it interesting that before God created the world, God was in fellowship with each other, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were in fellowship with each other, a fellowship of love. And God created us in that same model. We're a fellowship of love. And so if I'm resting in Christ, and Christ then is flowing through me, how does Christ see us? Christ sees us as beautiful, perfect, his bride, his beautiful, perfect bride. All of our sins have been separated from us as far as the east from the west. So if Christ is flowing through me when I'm loving you, then I'm seeing you as beautiful and perfect.
Well, we're going to have to wrap this up so we can have lunch. I'm glad we had some sharing about this. I didn't want to just let this list of one another's go by without you taking a look at them and realizing there's some ones in there. If you look at the list, there are some ones in there that you got to start doing. Be kind and compassionate. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Consider others better than yourself. Look to the interests of one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir each other up to love and good works. That's the body of Christ. Go through that list. Pray through that list. Look them up. Keep that in your Bible. Constantly look at that. That's who you are, and that's what you want from the body of Christ. This is just our DNA. He's just laying it out there. And they're everywhere. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Look at how many of those things are, if not done, are divisive. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Speak truth in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. My goodness. Oh, that's our DNA. That's who we are. Please go through that list. Put it in your Bible. Look at it often. Look them up. And then ask the Lord, Lord, can you? I don't think I'm good at that. I need you to help me. You know? And I also need people to be that way to me. So I thank you for the body that I'm a part of. We're all going to practice the one another's. That's the mark of true Christianity. That's the mark of a true Christian, is these one another's. This is what we do. This is who we are. And the more we do that, man, the more blessed, the more holy, the more filled, the more complete, the more mature the body is. When you're doing the one another's, people walk in, they watch, and they go, truly, God is among you. They will know we are Christians. How? By our love one for another. That's the mark of the church. Our love one for another. And then he maps out all the one another's, how we can love one another, how we can minister to one another. That's the mark of Christianity. And you watch this.
as people come in, and people will come in, they'll come, they'll go, they'll come, they'll go, they're going to sit back there, and maybe one day, or maybe 2 days, or maybe 3 different days, they're watching. Who are these people? How do they treat each other? Are they legit? Are they, do they really love each other? Are they just lip servicing the Lord? People will see that. They'll sense it. And when people sense there's love among us, this is the group they want to be with. They want to be loved. They want to be in a safe place. They want to be in a good place. They want to be in a place where God resides, where God is exuding himself through his people. We are that people. I love this group, and I see you guys constantly loving each other, constantly one anothering each other. Keep reading on this and understand all the one anothers that we get to do. And it's fun. And that, again, is our genetic structure. It's who we are. So with that, let's pray, and then we'll go. Father, I thank you for the one another list. I was looking at this list earlier, and I think there's well over 100 in Scripture. And Father, you're big on the one another's. You're big on that. Teach us to walk in love, in grace, understanding that all these one another's is what you have done to us and are doing to us daily, moment by moment. And let it spill over onto each other constantly. Thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for those who will come. Thank you for those that you've put in our life that we get to do the one another's too. Other believers, let us love with craziness, with abandon. Let us accept each other and build each other up. And now as we go next door to eat, Father, we pray that you'll bless that mealtime. We want to pray for the food, that the food nourishes and encourages us, and the food makes us healthy, keep us strong. We also pray that the time of fellowship around the table will be a very, very powerful time of reacquainting each other, getting deeper, and connecting around food. It's such a good thing. And then we'll have communion over there. But we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Bless this food and the time together. In Jesus' name, amen.